Anxiety is everywhere right now. It's not just you. Modern life is overstimulating. It's dysregulating. It doesn't allow us to recover. In a way, we have an anxious attachment to chaos. The chaos is in us. That chaotic environment is probably how we felt as children. The alarm is getting louder because the external threats are mirroring this internal wound. The only way out of anxiety is to go back and rescue that child. We can't be anxiety free. It just doesn't work that way. Your peace doesn't have to wait for the world to calm down. In fact, it shouldn't. The world is always going to be chaotic. What do you do about that? Well, you try and reduce. Well, I'm back. Welcome to another episode of the Anxiety Rx podcast. Today, I want to talk about why everyone feels more anxious. And I think this is happening with everyone these days. It isn't just people with known anxiety issues. I think everyone is feeling anxious these days. And I think there's just so many things from so many different angles. Those of us with anxiety are used to carrying this alarm in our system and looking for external reasons why it happens and almost validating. And there's so much validation out there now. There's so many different aspects of the world that are anxiety provoking. So I'm wondering if you're feeling like you're carrying extra weight lately and you don't know exactly why. Now, anxiety is everywhere right now. It's not just you. And I think it's so critical to understand that anxiety is a part of human life. We can't be anxiety free. It just doesn't work that way. But what we can do is regulate ourselves to the point where we feel like we're in control of it rather than it's controlling us. So I want to explore in this episode why anxiety is rising in nearly everyone with a brain anyway. And the real root of that anxiety is this uncertainty in the world. And uncertainty and tolerance is a way that sometimes I use to describe anxiety. We don't like uncertainty because of what uncertainty meant in our childhood. If uncertainty in your childhood was a very difficult thing, and then the world is now mirroring all this uncertainty to you, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on top of the anxiety and alarm that you carry every day to absorb what's happening in the world and not get more anxious. Modern life is overstimulating and it's dysregulating and it doesn't allow us to recover. And those of us with anxiety really get drawn to distraction. As I said at one of my previous podcasts, distraction is so much a part of the way as children that we didn't deal with the anxiety or push the feeling away. And this, it's easy to get distracted into the news because there's always something new. There's always something intriguing that pulls you away from what's inside of you. And there's this feeling like we're always on, we're always notified, always interrupted. And part of us likes that because that chaotic environment is kind of probably how we felt as children. The alarm is getting louder because the external threats are mirroring this internal wounds. And there's an attraction to that. It sort of makes sense to us why the world is having such a difficult problem right now, because we are having a problem. It's in us. The chaos is in us. The uncertainty intolerance is in us. So when there's more uncertainty in the world, it mirrors back to our childhood when there was so much uncertainty in our childhood. And there is a seduction to that. Freud called it the repetition compulsion, that we are seducted. We are seduced by the things that were so pervasive in our childhood. So if uncertainty was pervasive in your childhood, you will be attracted to what's uncertain in the world today. And there's a lot that's uncertain in the world today. This global uncertainty, war, pandemics, the elections, climate change, you know, we're wired to predict and prepare. And when we can't, the alarm system just goes nuts. And this triggers uncertainty and tolerance where we just don't know what's happening, but we're attracted to it at the same time, especially with people with anxious attachment. In a way, we have an anxious attachment to chaos. And if you're attracted to the news and all the politician stuff that's coming out, it's not you, it's how you're wired. And it's not just the news, it's the lack of control that reactivates that old trauma. And this one hits really hard because if you grew up in a chaotic home or were hypervigilant as a child, you won't be able to keep up with everything that's going on. There is this seduction that we feel that if we're sort of distracted to a certain amount, that's familiar to us. So we stay with that. But there's so much going on now. It's so hard to keep regulated when there's just so much uncertainty coming at us from every angle. So what do you do about that? Well, you try and reduce the cognitive overload, you know, news breaks, making decisions a little more simple rather than ruminating on them, you know, working with your nervous system, not just the thoughts, just around the unpredictability, relishing unpredictability, making it feel like you have some control, appreciating unpredictability rather than being a victim to it. So reconnecting to that child who needed certainty to feel safe, but never really got it. And we're kind of doing the same thing now because there is no certainty in the world. And there's a perverse sense of familiarity with that awkwardness in the world. So we've reproduced that. We are seduced by uncertainty because we felt a lot of uncertainty in childhood. And there is this repetition compulsion that what was familiar to you in childhood, you will unconsciously reproduce in your adulthood. And I think with all the current events, with everything going on and so much uncertainty, there's part of us that's really attracted to that. And I think that that just makes the alarm worse. And we carry this incredible weight from constantly sticking our faces into uncertainty with knowing that that uncertainty was familiar to us and we equated that familiarity with security when we were younger. But now the uncertainty is so far out of control that we've kind of bitten off way more than we can chew. So for many of us, myself included, money was an issue when we were growing up. And scarcity is at the root of survival. So for many, money isn't just math. It's safety, it's security, it's status, it's self-worth. And our alarm system see financial unknowns as a threat to our security, as existential threats. So if money really triggers you, you may have experienced real or emotional deprivation or a sense that support wasn't guaranteed. In other words, you kind of grew up in a lack environment. And when we grow up in a lack environment, we are so much more susceptible to feeling like we're going to go broke. We're going to lose everything. If your support wasn't guaranteed when you were younger, there's this sense that support isn't guaranteed now. And you can create that support within yourself, but it takes practice. You know, practice self-talk around sufficiency and resourcefulness. I've been okay in the past. Things have gone poorly in the past, but I've been able to make it through. Look at the times in the past where you've made it through and look at your beliefs around not being enough. And are they really accurate? Look at your recent history. Have you shown that you can actually take care of yourself? You just don't believe it. And healing your sense of support, especially from caregivers, it can reduce the panic around money. If you are internally feeling safe in your body, money stuff won't bother you so much. And everything won't bother you so much. If you can regulate in your body, all these other things won't compound on you. Because if your body's alarmed, your mind makes up alarming thoughts, which gets you in the alarm anxiety cycle, which is very difficult to break free from. And a big thing I see now more than anything else is AI fatigue. We don't know what's real and what's not anymore. And I think when we were children, that was very scary, not having security in your environment when you're a child. And this AI concept where we don't know what's real and what's not is very alarm provoking in us. We feel displaced, obsolete, overstimulated, disconnected, because we don't know what's real and what's not. And when we don't know what's real and what's not, we lose our sense of identity as individuals and as global human beings. And we get overwhelmed around the pace of change. And this creates dread in our environment because we don't know what's going to happen next, which is probably what happened to you when you were a child. You didn't know what was going to happen next. That's what happened with me. I never knew when my dad was going to go into a phase of mania or depression or psychosis. So it's important to sort of set your boundaries, like limit the time that you're using AI and digital media. Now, I know that sounds like everyone else says that, but making the intention, setting a timer, you know, being responsible for yourself, being responsible for that child in you that may be craving the distraction and the disconnection, but it's not doing you any good. It's making you worse. So if you take control over it, if you feel like I'm in control of this, even if you set a timer for an hour or 2 hours and stick to it, and then get outside, do other things, try to move away from this chaos that maybe you're attracted to, because maybe chaos was part of your childhood. And we are often attracted to the things in our childhood and recreate them in our adulthood. So this sense that we're overstimulated can be a anxiety relief mechanism, because when we're overstimulated, we don't drop into that pain that we feel so deeply within ourselves. And understanding that you actually have control over how much overstimulation you have, and taking control over the stimulation that you do give yourself, that can make a real difference in your long-term alarm and your anxiety about the future. A huge perpetuator of anxiety is loneliness. We may be surrounded by people, but we feel lonely because we don't allow the love and connection in, because love and connection maybe wasn't safe when we were younger. So a lot of anxiety and alarm is our own inability to accept and receive love, both from others and ourselves. So this epidemic of loneliness is really creating so much alarm inside of us. So we can feel lonely even when we're not physically isolated, because we are isolating within ourselves. And if you're isolated within yourselves and you don't accept love and connection within yourself, it's very difficult to regulate your nervous system, because it triggers like this deep abandonment that you felt when you were a child, and the unmet emotional attunement and the grief behind not getting that connection. This can really hit us hard. You may have experienced like emotional neglect, or been the strong one in the family who never had to ask for help or never got to ask for help. And now you can't, because you've created this environment where you don't feel much of anything. And when we do that, it's very, very difficult to get in touch with the alarm, because we don't want to feel in the first place, but we have to feel it to heal it. So if you can begin with self-attunement practices, if you can do some of my yoga nidra, or you can do some of my hypnomeditations, somatic touch, breath work, anything that brings you into your body, brings you into your grounding, you can work towards safe relational repair with yourself. And maybe you get therapy, or maybe you have a close friend that you can rely on. Rely on those people, connect with those people, make it something that's so important in your life to connect with other people, because the more you connect with other people, the more you will connect with other people. The more you separate from other people and yourself, the more you will separate from yourself. So we really need to reparent that child, that part of us that was lonely, that felt emotionally alone, even if there was other people around. Loneliness is a huge driver of alarm and anxiety. So when we connect with ourselves, when we allow connection from other people, and specifically connection from ourselves, our adult self now takes care of the child in us now, a lot of that loneliness seems to dissipate. And then we allow the connection in, even though it's hard at first, but that connection is what really heals our alarm. Alarm is really the child in us craving attention, craving connection. So when we give that child the love and connection now that they so badly needed back then, we start getting to the root cause of what created the alarm in the first place. And that's the connection piece. We need other people. But there's also this existential grief from climate change and background anxiety about the planet and the future of humanity. And that triggers the same sense of helplessness, grief, and overwhelm we often felt when we were younger. And when we feel powerless to do anything about that now, it reignites that feeling of powerlessness when we were children. And if this resonates with you, you may carry some ancestral trauma that's handed down to you, or feel burdened with needing to save or fix things. So that can become something that's helpful, but it can also become an obsession that forms a distraction from the alarm. So it all really comes back down to connecting to yourself. It really does. If you can connect into small, meaningful actions, rituals that you do every day, if you commit to processing your grief through your body, not just the mind, getting some therapy if you need it. Grief is a huge driver of anxiety, just as loneliness is. And this inner healing creates the capacity and the resilience in your nervous system to connect to love, to connect to connection. As I said before, your nervous system formed in protection, but you don't have to live in protection for the rest of your life. You can really embrace connection. And I know that's hard. It was hard for me, but it's really the only way out is to embrace that connection. And what triggers you the most is what you need to heal the most. You know, this compassionate truth that the thing that scares you the most isn't just a random anxiety. It's your nervous system now pointed to something that happened to you back then. And if you can find that child, you can find the root cause of what's creating the problem in the first place. So we mirror in ourselves what the world is showing us. So if we feel the world is collapsing, there's a sense inside of us that we are collapsing. But if we can create that sense that, okay, the only thing I can change is my feeling towards myself. That's really the bottom line of everything. The only thing I can really change is how I feel towards myself. Are you negative? Do you judge that child? Do you abandon, blame, shame, neglect, bully that child in you? Or do you decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to connect with the younger version of me. Easier said than done, I realize. But often these external threats reflect this internal pain that we've carried for decades. And we'd much rather deal with the outside than go and rescue that child. And I'm telling you, the only way out of anxiety is to go back and rescue that child. That's what my yoga nidra is about. That's my hypnometation. That's what my book is about. And it's really important to understand that it's in you. It's the outside doesn't matter. What matters the most is how you feel towards yourself, how you can connect with yourself. And I know that sounds Pollyanna. I know it sounds woo, but it's really the only way to make a difference in your outside world is to make this difference in your inside world. Now, what can you actually do? There's a lot of stuff going on outside now in our world, but what can you actually do? You don't need to fix the world, but you do need to listen to what's awakening within you. The alarm in you is a message from your younger self that says, hey, I need connection. And if you start with grounding in your body, locating your alarm, treating your alarm as the younger version of you, putting your hand over it, breathing into it, staying with it, do the yoga nidra, do the hypnometations, find that connection within yourself, reconnect with the parts of you that felt unseen, unsafe, unsupported, unprotected, and make them feel seen, heard, open to, understood, loved, and defended. That's really how we heal from anxiety. Your peace doesn't have to wait for the world to calm down. And in fact, it shouldn't, because that's not going to happen. The world is always going to be chaotic. That's just the way the world is. What doesn't have to be is a chaotic reaction and to yourself, a chaotic assessment of yourself. You don't need the outside world to change. You do need to find that child in you and see them, hear them, open to them, understand them, love them, and defend them. That's really what you need. Doesn't really matter what's going on in the outside world. If you can soothe yourself, if you can find a place to soothe yourself, and this can be very difficult because if we grew up in chaos, if we grew up in uncertainty, we are attracted to the tremendous uncertainty that's in the world. There's a dopamine hit that I believe that we get from getting fixated on Trump or the climate or just the world in general, how chaotic, or earthquakes, whatever is your issue du jour, just realize that it's probably a distraction from going into yourself. It's the child in you that is causing all of this pain because they're asking to be seen, heard, open to, loved, and pretended and protected. You're not broken for feeling overwhelmed. You're not weak for being triggered. You're human. and the world is triggering old wounds that you finally have the power to heal. The world isn't going to change. It really comes down to you saying to yourself, I'm going to just unplug from all this uncertainty, or as much as I can, and plug into that child in me that's creating the alarm. Do the hypnometeditations, do the yoga nidra, connect with the inner version of you. The outer world, in a lot of ways, doesn't matter. What really matters is connecting with yourself. The more connected you feel to yourself, the less lonely, the less full of grief, and the less troubled and alarmed you're going to be. It takes time. It takes a commitment. But if you make the commitment to yourself, as opposed to making a unconscious commitment to chaos, which is kind of what we're doing. I do the same thing, making this unconscious commitment to chaos by getting sucked into the world. We're just recapitulating what happened to us as children, which is having no power and feeling terrible about it and not being able to escape. The only escape is no escape at all. It's staying inside of you and healing that younger part of you so that all parts of you, the child in you holds the best parts of you. It's really true. The child in you holds the very best parts of you. But often we reject that child because of what they went through, because they hold our pain. But when we realize that the child in us holds the very best parts of us, and we can love and connect with that child, see, hear, open to, understand, love, and defend that child, then we truly start to heal. And it doesn't matter so much what goes on in the outside world. It's really creating this new peace in your inside world. Easier said than done, I agree. But you got to start somewhere. And I'll see you next time.